Welcome to the all-new VM Podcast. This is where we discuss the latest and most fascinating, powerful, and disruptive additive manufacturing and 3D printing technologies with the people that invent, develop, use, and market them. Join us on this journey as we take you from voxels to matter through the most advanced applications across aerospace, automotive, healthcare, consumer products, and the most advanced areas of digital production. I am your host, Davide Scher, CEO and co-founder of Voxel Matters, the most trusted media, marketing, and market research firm for the ever-growing world of additive manufacturing. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the VM Podcast. We are here today with Chad Beamer, Applications Engineer managing the US-based Application Center for Quintus Technologies, the global leader in high-pressure technology. But what exactly does Quintus Technology do, and what exactly does Chad Beamer do? And perhaps more importantly, how does this relate to additive manufacturing? Hi, Chad, and welcome. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your work at Quintus?
Most definitely. I want to thank you first and foremost for the opportunity. I think this is going to be a great discussion, and I look forward to sharing some of the interesting things we're doing today and the interesting developments that are going to continue to drive forward the technology in the future. So yes, I'm Chad Beamer. I'm an applications engineer for Quintus. What I do is I manage our application center here in the U.S. We actually are headquartered in Sweden, in Västerås. And there we have an application center that showcases our latest and greatest technologies. We have one in the US that I manage, and then there's also one in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Managing that application center has allowed us to work with some very innovative technologies, including additive manufacturing, and evaluating what some of these high pressure technologies can offer to various industries. By background, I'm a material science and material engineer with a heavy focus in metallurgy. I grew up in the aviation industry, spent about 7 years with GE Aviation, and transitioned to working in the heat treat industry for a large heat treat service provider called Bodycoat. And then about 3.5 years ago, I transitioned to Quintus. So kind of a perfect setup for me, having aerospace background, heat treat background for my current role. Absolutely. And in that role, I get the golden opportunity to work very closely with a wide range of companies. I get to work with universities and students and professors. I get to work with various institutions, various national labs here in the U.S. that are really driving forward technology, and directly with the companies that are making some very innovative products at the end of the day. So I always like to argue I have one of the best roles in our company. I get to work with some of the smartest minds out there.
Yeah.
Quintus Technologies, we're considered one of the industry leaders in delivering high pressure equipment. We kind of have a broad portfolio, 3 or so business units. One of our business units is advanced material densification, which includes cold isostatic pressing, okay, warm isostatic pressing, and hot isostatic pressing. The main difference, cold and warm uses a liquid, water or oil, to do the isostatic pressing, whereas hot isostatic pressing uses a gas, such as argon. We also have a sheet metal forming business unit, which is essentially hydroforming using high pressure processing techniques to create complex sheet metal elements. And then one of the third business units, which I think is the most interesting, is our high pressure processing.
Sure.
You actually can use very high pressure, 87,000 PSI or 600 MPa, to process food and beverage product to extend shelf life.
Wow.
And improve flavor, right? Right. So kind of a broad portfolio, but we have our roots in Swedish ABB, formerly ASEA. It dates back to the 1950s. And during that time, there was a project spearheaded by Blotzer von Platen, who's also the inventor of the refrigerator, of all things. But that project's goal was to produce synthetic diamonds, right?
Sure.
And when you think of the diamond material, you know there's a lot of heat involved and pressure involved in order to accomplish that. They were successful in developing a commercial approach to produce synthetic diamonds. It leveraged pressures as high as 1 million PSI or 7,000 MPa, right?
Right.
That's extreme pressure to be able to produce that material. And some of the design philosophies that were established during the development of that equipment are still present in our processing techniques today, specifically the high strength wire winding technique that we use to reinforce our frames as well as our cylinders.
Okay.
For our isostatic pressing equipment. It truly is a key enabler of our technology, and it's what sets us apart from our competition. It allows us to take these pressure vessels and scale them. We've delivered some of the largest presses to date for the industry. And it also allows us to do some very unique post-processing techniques in the hip with respect to cooling that gives you some advantages with productivity and combining post-process such as heat treatment with the hip system.
Oh, wow.
We can speak a little bit more on that
later,
but
yeah.
Very, very unique architecture that really is at the heart of our design.
Yeah, that's quite a lot of information. And I, you know, before we get more into, you know, how the process exactly, you know, works, what it does to the parts, I wanted to understand exactly from you how much of your activity involves additive manufacturing. How recently did the interest for additive manufacturing emerge at Quintus?
Yeah, I mean, it's something Quintus Technology is constantly doing, right? We're looking at emerging technologies and we're trying to identify potential fits for a high pressure equipment. I think we had line of sight on it probably 15, 20 years ago, right? We could see the opportunity in additive, the potential lead time benefit, the flexibility in design, reduction in resources. So we realized the opportunity. I would say probably the last 10 or plus so years, though, there has been a strong interest in Quintus to make sure that we had equipment that could complement those processing techniques, right? And to kind of align with that, we have leveraged our application centers. So it allows us to work very closely with universities, with institutions, and companies to make sure our product aligns well with their need and our product helps aid in maturing the technology as a whole. And a lot of what our application center has been able to do is kind of comes down to the fundamentals, helps us build out, you know, support these companies, build out the process structure property relationships to help accelerate the adoption of the additive manufacturing technology.
But let me ask you exactly. So what is it that, you know, what happens to an AM part, you know, a 3D printed part when it goes through the isostatic pressing process? What benefits do they get?
Most definitely, great question. And I always like to point back to some other conventional manufacturing techniques. If you think about castings that are used for structural applications inherently can have shrinkage porosity or casting porosity present in the actual component.
Sure.
And that can lead to negative impacts on properties.
Sure.
There can be similar challenges with various additive manufacturing techniques, right? There can be residual voids. There can be residual pores. For laser powder bed fusion, you could have lack of fusion defects, as well as keyhole defects present in the material. And those defects act as stress concentration points that can negatively impact mechanical properties and reliability. So the need for HIP, or the interest of HIP for AM, is to address some of those inherent flaws associated with the process.
Sure.
At the end of the day, AM wants to be utilized for a wide range of different end applications. But as you kind of start to transition more to the structural applications where fatigue is critical to part performance and reliability, that's where hot isostatic pressing is utilized. It's a technique that applies high temperature and high pressure to heal those internal defects to create a more robust microstructure with improved properties and more reliable performance over time. So you have the structural components that see the benefit. We see a lot of opportunity, of course, in aerospace. We see a lot of opportunity in medical, as well as energy and other industries to fill that need. Another potential benefit that HIP offers by eliminating those subsurface defects, if you go to machine or polish the surface of the component, the last thing you want to do is open up those defects to the surface.
Right.
All right, that could in turn impact fatigue performance, low cycle fatigue. It could impact corrosion resistance. You get crevice corrosion mechanisms that could occur. And it even impacts the optical appearance of the part if defects are being brought up to the surface. So HIPing is a way to heal those subsurface defects, subsurface, machine into the surface to have a pristine finish of the component.
But so
those are some of the benefits and some of the needs for hot isostatic pressing.
Fantastic. And you know, it makes me think, like, for so many years, you know, covering the industry, so many, you know, whenever you know, as the technologies were evolving, everybody was saying, you know, we can achieve, you know, 99 point EBM can achieve 99 point something, you know, density, and PBF maybe a little bit less, and now binder jetting probably a lot less. It's not entirely clear, but basically what you're saying is they don't really need to achieve that, or I mean they can achieve that, but then they can improve it further by HIPing the part.
Yeah, and you kind of highlight a good opportunity for AM, and this kind of goes back to having a holistic view on AM. There are opportunities when you know you need to use HIP to deliver performance and reliability. There's opportunities to go back to the print strategy. And instead of optimizing on density, if you know you're already going to HIP the component,
which is
going to carry you to full density, you can then optimize the print strategy possibly around scan speed. Fast printing enabled by HIP is one strategy that is being evaluated very closely by a number of industries. So there are opportunities for that, but it does come down to the end application. Not every additively manufactured part needs HIP.
Sure.
I'm an application engineer by background. It comes down to that application and what's critical to its quality. And when it's structural based, when it's performance and reliability based, HIP is often leveraged to deliver on that front.
I understand. And so what exactly is your, you know, I wanted to ask you who your, you know, what segments do you serve, but you actually already answered that. But I wanted to ask, what is your typical client and your business model? What I mean is, do you sell systems or do you also sell services, you know, HIPing or also cold isostatic pressing services? And who is your typical client, you know, who that buys one of your machines? Is it in additive manufacturing, I mean?
Great, great question. And I apologize, we do have a process that's starting to ramp up in the background. So if you hear a lot of noise in the background, that's our HPP food press revving up.
All right.
But great question. To set the foundation, Quintus Technologies is the OEM of the high pressure equipment. We design, we manufacture, we install and commission it. We pretty much help support the equipment throughout its whole life cycle. We're not a service provider. And because of that, that's kind of the motivation why we've opened up these application centers so folks can work with us to evaluate the technology, do proof of concept and whatnot. So as a result, our biggest clients, you know, focusing on hot isostatic pressing, it's the heat treatment service providers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They may already have heat treat equipment in their facility.
Okay. And
they may also invest in hot isostatic pressing to complement those heat treat operations. But it's AM. What's interesting with AM is it's kind of created new business opportunities for us. Right. There's new strategies. Folks that are bringing AM technologies in-house, they value vertical integration. They love using that word, vertical integration, right? So they want to have one facility under one roof. You can do everything from printing to additional post-processing, machining, producing the finished part.
Sure.
So AM is giving us an opportunity to deliver to AM-based contract manufacturing. And there's a number of examples in place with that today. But also companies in the space and medical industry are looking to insource hot isostatic pressing, again, for vertical integration. Improvements in lead time can be realized.
Yeah.
These companies gain control with HIP optimization, coming up with their own unique recipes to accommodate an additive manufactured structure, or also to do some very unique post-processing strategies in the HIP, referred to as high-pressure heat treatment, where you can consolidate all the thermal processing steps all in the HIP under high pressure. So it's really expanded our client base, AM has, with contract manufacturers and insourcing. So it's been an exciting opportunity, to say the least.
Yeah, that's super interesting, actually, that, you know, the vertical integration that AM really looks at. Sometimes, you know, we think of, you know, everybody says we need to think about the workflow, you know, the full workflow, and, you know, we're not there yet. And it's true, you know, but it's important that they are thinking about it. You know, before you weren't even considering it. It was just more, you know, everybody maybe doing their own part of the workflow. But with additive, there is more attention on the vertical integration. That's actually very interesting to highlight. And so back to the metal AM processes that you can use HIP on. You know, we mentioned some PBF processes. I mentioned binder jetting, but can the technology, or does the technology work on with all metal AM processes, including, like, you know, DED, WAM, or, you know, other bound metal, cold spray, and are there size limits, and what are the size limitations on the part?
Great questions. Through our application center, we have seen a little bit of everything. At a high level, yes, the process is compatible with a lot of these metal AM-based technologies that are being matured. If the output of that process runs the risk of having subsurface defects, porosity, voids, etc.,
sure,
HIPing is a solution to heal those defects and potentially provide improvement in mechanical properties and reliability. Now, the HIP parameters may vary, though, and that's one thing that needs to be considered. Depending on what additive manufacturing technology is being leveraged for a given material, you may have to consider slight differences in time, temperature, pressure, not only to densify, but also to steer the microstructure in a desired way. So that's one thing I refer to as HIP optimization, where you're kind of taking your conventional HIP parameters that were developed for castings and coming up with a more appropriate parameter set for the additive manufactured variant. But there can also be some limitations. You highlighted earlier in the interview different density levels that are achievable by certain processes. Well, one key requirement for HIP to be effective is that you produce a component that has a gas-tight surface. Essentially, you have to avoid having a network porosity, because HIP will not be effective. So we see densities that are typically 92 to 95% or higher required in order
okay,
to fully densify,
sure,
via,
yeah,
HIP.
I can imagine. Otherwise, you collapse, the structure collapses, right?
correct. So, or the gas enters that
or
network
gas,
porosity.
Right.
And it doesn't act,
oh, sure,
on the structure as a,
sure,
whole to,
sure,
to heal the defects, and the network porosity remains afterwards. So,
wow,
so that can be a limitation, but it is being evaluated with all technologies and materials, and similar benefits are being realized.
Interesting. So say, you know, you're an additive company, you want to invest in a system. Which ones? Like, how many systems are on the market, and how does it work? You know, how do you select what's ideal for you?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Our technical sales team is dedicated to educating on that front.
Right.
Right. It initially comes down to, you know, what kind of materials are you dealing with? That could dictate what type of furnaces are leveraged internal to the pressure vessel. And then, as you highlighted, component size will define the size of the HIP equipment.
Sure.
And volume of that component or components will dictate the size of that vessel needed or how many vessels are required. So kind of gathering all that information allows us to size the appropriate unit for a given opportunity. And Quintus has changed a bit over the last decade or so. We used to be a project-based company. Someone would come to us, tell us what their inputs would be, and we'd design a system that would fulfill that. But we've shifted. We're more of a product-based company.
Sure.
In that we have a series of units predefined, and they're broken into three classes: compact HIP systems, medium-sized HIP systems, and large HIP systems. So as we gather that information on what the customer needs, we can react very quickly on what one of our predefined products fit their need. And it also can help out from a lead time standpoint, because a lot of the subsystems that require to build out that system are already on our shop floor, ready to be pieced together to deliver the unit at the end of the day.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, as the company, I guess, as the technology becomes more widespread and the company matures, you start to have more consolidated, product lines. But what is the time requirement for HIPing a part? Like, what are we talking about? How long does it take?
Oh, great question. I run over 200 HIP cycles a year, so I have a really good feel for how long these processes can take. And it can be material dependent because it is a process that relies on creep mechanisms, diffusion mechanisms to fully heal the structure. It is a lengthy process. If you're HIPing aluminum or you're HIPing nickel-based alloys, it can range anywhere between a 4 to 8 hour cycle. What's unique about Quintus's technology, the wire winding, going back to the wire winding, we're able to actually integrate cooling channels between our pressure vessel forging and the wire winding package.
Okay.
Conventional HIP equipment could not do that. So with that capability, as well as having integrated nozzles and fans in the system to circulate hot process gases, we can now cool the systems where historically they would just turn off the heaters and let it do a very slow furnace cool down to a temperature that was safe to open up the vessel. So, for example, Inconel 718, the workhorse alloy in the aviation industry, a HIP cycle in conventional equipment could take 16 to 20 hours. You're only really spending about 4 hours of value-added work densifying the part. But due to the slow cool down, it really extends the cycle time. With a Quintus HIP, we can cut down that 16 to 20 hour cycle to about an 8 hour cycle.
Wow.
With that productivity enhancement. So it is one advancement that we introduced back in the 80s, and we've continued to refine to drive productivity, as well as some other unique capabilities that I'll speak to a little later.
Okay, yeah, I wonder if some of those, if additive can help make more efficient parts for your machines as well, right? Today or in the future, it would be, a lot of 3D printed parts are printed, so why not, right?
yeah, and that comment is fully true. I think, you look at legacy castings, if it's not broke, don't fix it. They're kind of happy in their current ways, where AM is more aggressive with advancing all technologies that are adjacent to the printing process itself to improve lead time and capability. Sure. So AM has been a big advocate of some of these unique capabilities that we have and are introducing in our HIP systems.
Fantastic. And we connected, when you introduced the URQ HIP process. And I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that, and what are the latest innovations coming from Quintus?
Yeah, it's a very exciting time here at Quintus Technologies. some of our most recent product developments are positioning us very well for adding value to the AM process chain. So one of our advancements go back to the development of our cooling capability in the 80s. We've refined that, and we've introduced some new furnaces that allow us to do what's called high pressure heat treatment. So our systems now have the ability, depending on what furnace you're working with, to cool as fast or faster than what a vacuum furnace is capable of doing. We also have a furnace called the uniform rapid quenching that you mentioned that cools faster than what a oil quench would produce. And this is all with high pressure argon gas. We're not introducing new gas, we're just circulating the existing gas in the system. And with that capability, with those capabilities, we now can do heat treatments. We can densify, you're already at very high temperatures. Why end the process and then have to take it to a vacuum furnace and go back up in temperature again and do everything all over? You can actually start to consolidate post-processing all in the HIP. It creates an opportunity where you can combine a stress relief, a HIP, a solution anneal, and even age segment in a HIP cycle to save time, significant time in the processing technique. And then our uniform rapid quenching furnaces is drawn a lot of attention, especially with aluminum alloys.
Sure.
Additively manufactured aluminum alloys can show some challenges with distortion when you're water quenching. They can show some challenges with what's called hydrogen blistering, forming these gas bubbles when you go to do the solution anneal. And doing everything under pressure with our uniform rapid quenching technology has shown to mitigate that completely. So some very interesting capabilities with our URC furnace, or uniform rapid cooling furnace, and uniform rapid quenching furnace to consolidate the post-processing techniques, and in some cases even offering benefits. But we are expanding beyond just those furnace advancements. We've recently revealed a new technique that can deliver clean parts. The technique is called Quintus Purus. Wow. Processing, in which we're able to eliminate moisture from the vessel, treat very sensitive materials that are prone to discoloration, or in the case with Ti 6-4, form alpha casing. We can essentially process those parts, and the output are parts that are discoloration free and Ti 6-4 parts that are alpha casing free. Okay. And there's a big interest for those capabilities in the medical industry as well as the aerospace industry. Because today, the only way to mitigate it is to use stainless steel foil wrap getter, and that can add additional time and material and cost, and it's not always bulletproof. So it's a new technology we just revealed, and we're outfitting our application centers with it so customers can come and evaluate its potential.
Fantastic. And so to summarize all this, what would you say is the value proposition for using HIP? Like what is the main points that you would like to highlight?
Yep, I really feel like HIP is an enabler of technologies, right? AM wants to expand its design space, right? There's critical applications out there that could benefit by using AM on multiple fronts, design freedom, lead time, etc. And in cases where there's inherent defects present in those materials, a way to deliver the performance requirements, the reliability requirements, HIP can enable that, right? HIP can address those inherent defects in order for AM to be realized for those types of applications. So that's what's great about the HIP technology, coupling it with AM. I believe it fully expands its design space, its sure. user space.
Sure.
The high pressure heat treatment capability that I highlighted, which is unique to a Quintus system, it's great for AM as well for consolidating the post-process heat treatment operations. Combining stress relief, HIP, solution anneal, and age can significantly cut down on lead time, potentially cut down on cost. It's a way to optimize the microstructure again for enhanced improvement. and it's shown to mitigate distortion. So there may be some very unique additively manufactured designs and architectures that would distort under conventional cooling or quenching techniques. Sure. That these high pressure heat treatment strategies can fully mitigate.
Wow.
And last but not least, the HIT purist technique that I mentioned, clean parts, eliminating the use of getters. It is a technique that, again, can enable parts to be processed on a build plate, or it can be a technique that creates a more sustainable post-processing operation where getter foils don't need to be utilized or additional post-process chemical milling or cleaning operations don't need to be utilized. So Quintus, you know, continues to kind of push the capabilities of these HIP systems because we see that there's potential, you know, value add for AM, for castings, etc.
Fantastic. And I just have one last question for you. What do you see, you know, where do you see the AM industry going? What is your assessment? And, you know, from a company that obviously, you know, kind of looks at additive from the outside, but really also from the inside of the entire additive manufacturing workflow.
I'm a full believer. It's going to, of course, continue to grow, continue to evolve. It's going to showcase its success stories with critical applications. And as we gain more confidence in the aerospace industry, the medical industry, with its performance and its reliability, that's when I think it will really take off. And it takes time to get there, yeah. Understandably so. It takes time to get there. But it's positioning itself very well. So we're very much excited to be behind the AM revolution, and it's going to be fun to grow with it for sure.
Fantastic. Okay, so that's all the time we have for today. We actually went a little bit long, but thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you as well. Much appreciated.